It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely, rainy Kansas City. Man, oh man, am I tired of the rain. My goodness, it's been coming down for days. It's good for my grass seed, though, that I put out back. So that's good. Hopefully the grass will start to grow. And, you know, one of the biggest concerns, I think, of the week, and we'll bring Austin in here to talk about it, King of America. The weather forecast for King of America is not looking very good. What I think the high today is going to be, what, 51, 50, somewhere around there. Tonight, it's going to get down into the 40s. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be around 50 degrees. Austin, I don't know about you, but if I'm a fan, I'm going to be watching on Racing Dirt tonight.
I'm right with you. I do not want to sit out there and freeze. I just pulled up the weather forecast for Humboldt, Kansas. So today's a high of 52 and a low of 36.
36.
Tomorrow, high of 60, low of 34. And Saturday, a high of 62 and a low of 34. And we're partly cloudy every day, besides today, which is full overcast.
Does it say what time it's... does it show you the times on there and when it's going to be down in the 30s and 40 degrees? Does it say that on there?
Yes, tonight it doesn't hit 39 degrees until 11 p.m.
Well, that's pretty late.
Yeah, so tonight should be all right, and tomorrow
it doesn't
go that far.
But still, when it's 40 degrees, Austin, as you know, and a little breeze, it feels like 30-some degrees.
Especially here in the Midwest, it feels... just crazily cold, and it's just like you take your actual fuel temperature outside, which is 40 degrees, and you put a little wind on it, and it's like 30, you know. Yeah. And it's just it's crazy how the wind really affects our temperatures around here, or our fuel like temperatures. And I can tell you, I don't think any modified guys or like sprint cars really need, you know, engine heaters, but I think tonight is the night they'll try and put like a propane, you know,
at least
heater on it.
The oil heated up a little bit before they go out there.
I've never raced any, you know, anywhere that's been under like, you know, 45 degrees, 50 degrees. I mean, maybe 45 is too low, but maybe we'll just say 50.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing like 45, 40 like they're doing tonight.
You ever been cold in your sprint car when you're racing?
No.
Never have been.
I've never been cold. Maybe sit on the grid, maybe, but...
Always worked up a sweat.
Always worked up a sweat, but man, you sit, you know, right behind the engine of it, so that, you know, produces...
Throws some heat on you.
Yeah, a lot of heat, and your header's dumped right next to you, so, I mean, there's not one part of that car is cold after a race.
I've been cold in a race car a time or two.
Well, I bet when you're running 150 at the Kansas Speedway, it gets kind of chilly in there.
Well, not really, because, you know, and those cars are so closed up, they had side windows in them and everything, you know, not much air got into them. But 182 mile an hour, by the way, out there.
Sorry, so, I shorted you 32 miles
an
hour.
Yeah, right, don't rip me off for 30 mile an hour, that's all I'm saying. But anyway, I think it's going to be a good night for our friends over at Racing Dirt. Trenton and Stick are going to be doing the live broadcast on Racing Dirt tonight, so... If you don't feel like making it down there tonight or tomorrow night, and you really want to just save it up for Saturday night, I think Saturday night would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys pack the crowd down there in Humboldt, Kansas, you'll generate enough heat, and you know within yourselves in the stands, and should be a pretty good show. I mean, I for a USMTS, you know, show down there for the King of America, I would kind of bear the cold for Saturday, but the prelim nights I wouldn't go.
If I go down there, it's going to be on Saturday night. Because if I'm going to watch races, I'm not going to sit around and watch a bunch of prelim races on Thursday and Friday. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to watch somebody win that $15,000. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody bring in that $15,000. If you were going to go, you probably wouldn't go on a prelim night, would you?
No.
Mm-mm. You know, that's the one thing about promoting races. You know, we've promoted, Kirk and I have promoted probably somewhere around 15 races over the years. And I will tell you, I'm just not interested in doing two-day shows. Because nobody ever shows up on the first day.
No, unless it's an event like, you know, the Kings Royal, the Eldora Dream, or the World 100, or the Knoxville Nationals, you will hardly get anybody.
Or the Chili Bowl.
Yep. Tulsa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to pull anybody for a prelim night.
Short Track Nationals is pretty good with a two-day show. They bring in people both nights down there at I-30 Speedway. Oh, by the way, that's where the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour is going to be this weekend. So that should be a lot of fun to watch. I'll be watching it on TV as well. I love watching the USMTS guys. And I know Trenton hated it when I said, you guys are the world of outlaws of modified racing. He said, I don't want anything to do with the World Racing Group. You remember when he said that?
Yeah. That's a compliment, but I get what he was saying there. But if I was anybody in the racing industry that was promoting races, I would want to be compared to the World Racing Group. That's your leader.
The highest compliment, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. No, I think the same thing. So we'll have to see how it goes. Trenton Barry is going to join us here in just a little bit on the show. We'll talk to him a little bit later, about 12:40 in the show. We'll talk USMTS with him and what's been going on over there. Here in just a little bit, though, we're going to be talking to one of my friends from a long time way back. He was my crew chief when I had my ARCA team back in 2003. Trent Owens. I'm going to screw that up more than once today. I've got Trenton and I've got Trent.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday, the same day. So we'll talk to Trent Owens, who is the crew chief for Justin Haley in the 31 car.
Colleague Racing.
They're doing pretty good. They're 22nd in points right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really pretty good for Justin Haley, because if you remember right, you go back and you think about it, he was pretty much a lap car for a lot of years,
mm-hmm.
right? He
yeah.
just drove cars and made laps.
He was like Alex Bowman.
But now he's getting a chance to drive a competitive car, and I don't know if that's because of the new car suits his style a little bit better, and maybe it works better for him, but it seems like that he's really picked up his game here this year, it seems like to me, anyway.
Well, he has, but he ran for Colic for a couple of years in the Xfinity Series, so he had a lot of experience with that team and a lot of chemistry. And when I think they made that transition, they made it in the perfect time, because new car, new variable, and you're seeing a lot of. He did come from dirt racing, so you're seeing a lot of dirt guys have good luck and good runs with this new car.
Yep.
So that's a factor in it. And then it's just the unknown of this new car, really.
Yeah,
sure. You have Trent Owens as the crew chief, so you're not short on experience and knowledge. So I think it's the right storm and everything he needs to run good at these cup races.
Yeah. Maybe the biggest news of the day, maybe we should have started with it.
Yeah, we probably should have.
I don't know, but we like short track racing, right? That's kind of what we're all about around here at Racing Boys. But Brad Keselowski of the Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing Team, his car has been leveled a level 2 penalty. They've done something to the body on the back half of that car. We're not sure exactly what they've done, but they have been penalized heavily for the infraction of working on parts that you're not supposed to work on. Explain that to us, Austin.
Well, the biggest thing coming into the next-gen car with NASCAR was they were going to take away the team's ability to engineer parts and have a competitive advantage over other teams.
Right.
So now they're stamping parts. Like if you race IMCA, you have to buy an IMCA stamped wheel.
Right.
Or if you have a stamped right rear tire, you have to run a stamped right rear tire.
You can't do anything to it.
It's the same thing, yes.
Yeah.
And now they've wanted to mess with the design of the body, which is stamped from, I don't think, Five Star
does it.
Yeah, so... Yeah. They want to change it, and now NASCAR said in previous, press releases and press conferences
yep.
that if you did that, you're going to be in for a big penalty. And it showed
yep.
that they took that chance, and now they're paying the big price of a $100,000 penalty.
Didn't they do something earlier this year, too?
Yeah, they had. If you remember back to Daytona for the duels and the 500, they, wallered out the kingpin holes
right.
on your hubs.
Right.
So,
do you think this reflection of this penalty is more of a double after having what happened to him in Daytona and now what's going on here? Do you think that penalty is even stronger because of that?
No, I don't think so, because they did come out, you know, a couple days after the race and said that, you know, what they did was all right, because Penske did it as well, and Penske doesn't have a penalty for it. So I think that doesn't have any play in the penalty, but, you know, they did warn them that if you mess with it, you're going to get the hammer.
You're going to get it.
And they dropped it on them, and now they're sitting, you know, without 10 playoff points, even if they make the playoffs, you know, down 100 driver and owner points.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost $100,000, and I believe the crew chief is suspended for four races. And
Max
just,
McCall, he has been fined $100,000, suspended from the next four NASCAR Cup Series championship points events. The team has been assessed with a loss of 100 owner points and 100 driver points and 10 NASCAR playoff points.
Yeah, it's just...
That's a monster penalty,
it is, and, you know, I don't want to say poor Brad, because Brad kind of brought this on himself. You know, he had that issue at Daytona with the wheels. He drove like a maniac the first couple of races and just was a bulldozer.
Crashed people.
Yeah, and then, you know, he comes and has this issue. It's not a good look and not a good start for RFK Racing. I don't understand why Brad's, you know, not that it's all Brad's decision, why they want to do that as a new organization.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really getting started off on the right foot, but, well, they just better get it, you know, cleared out and, you know, restarted right here soon.
So the penalty is Section 14.1 C and D overall assembled vehicle rules, 14.5 A and D body note, modification of a single source applied part. That's lawyer terminology isn't it, bud?
We're supposed to be, you know, local guys.
Couldn't read it. It was just too much for me.
It's kind of like trying to read what Tezos is, which is the primary sponsor of the All-Star Circuit of Champions.
Yeah, no doubt. How big a deal is it to lose your crew chief for four races? It's a pretty big deal. We'll talk about that with Trent Owens here in just a little bit. Unfortunately, they lost a tire at Daytona, and they appealed that suspension, but they lost that appeal, and Trent Owens has been out for four races.
He should be coming back this weekend, right?
I think he's coming back this weekend. Yeah,
they'll be at COTA down there in Austin, Texas.
Yeah. So, I don't know. All I know is, I don't know why people would mess with anything that is stamped standard part on these cars.
Well, they know now not to. I think every other team...
No, I don't think that's going to stop them.
It won't stop them, but they also now... You now know the risk that comes with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that might hinder a couple teams. Let's say you're sitting in a good spot.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose that. And if you do it to a big enough, you know, stature where you could possibly lose even more... But yeah, I've never seen NASCAR really, you know, smack your hand down like that before. I mean, they've penalized people, but that's kind of a big penalty here.
Yeah. Thomas said down in Florida, it has been raining all morning down there in Florida. Raining in PA. Marie says it's raining out there in PA as well. Nina Jenniton said, Austin, you're doing a really good job. But
thanks, Nina.
Yeah, she's awesome. We love Nina Jenniton a lot. She's a good person. I just goes right back to thinking, why would anybody in their right mind try to do anything to one of these stamped parts? The penalty is too stiff to play with that stuff.
No, you're right. I mean, and we're this early in the season, you know, you can try stuff, but I really wouldn't. I would try to get your team going first.
Have you ever been through a NASCAR inspection line before and watched how they inspect these cars?
No. Well, I know now they go into, like, a tunnel where they get, like, lasered and all that. So you can't get anything by anymore, really.
It is ridiculous how much they tech these cars. So if you think you're going to slide something through inspection like that, no.
You're crazy.
No, it's not going to happen. No, I don't think so. So anyway, we'll have to see what ends up happening. Brad Keselowski, see if his team slips a little bit with the lack of their crew chief not being there with them. You know, we've seen teams go out and win without a crew chief before, though. We've seen that happen. I think Chad Knaus, his team won one time without him being a crew chief after he got suspended for some kind of rule infraction. They went out and won a race.
Really?
I think so, yeah. So we'll have to see if Matt McCarl is going to be how big a play is that going to be with him not being on the top of the pit box for the next 4 weeks. What do you think?
It's going to be, I think that's going to, I don't know. I don't know who backup crew chiefs they would have, you know, going in there, but I don't, with this young organization they have, I don't think it's going to be very well for them.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that's the biggest news of the day. A level two penalty brought down on the Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing Team.
And I think they need to add one more name to that team name.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, Austin, I know you're not much of a Chiefs guy because you don't watch the Chiefs that much, but you know what? I just want to say this about Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City. I want to say it real quick here before we go to a commercial break. Goodbye. See you later. We don't need you, Tyreek. You know, if you didn't want to be here and you wanted to be in Miami and you're going to put money in front of your team, you're not a team player.
You have to fill me in here. So it was his decision to leave?
It was his decision. They offered the Kansas City Chiefs offered Tyreek Hill to be the highest paid receiver in the league. He turned it down and took more money from Miami. Once they realized that they weren't going to get enough money, the Chiefs told Tyreek and his agent, go out and find you a trade deal. And they went to Miami. They found the trade. Tyreek is going to go down there. Listen, we don't need you, Tyreek. All we need is Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and with all those draft choices that we got yesterday, we're going to build a really good team, and we're going to do it without Tyreek Hill. And you know what? I know that he played a lot of great plays for us and did a lot of great things for the team. But as I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, everybody can be replaced. It's just the way the world works. You know? Austin could be replaced. I could be replaced. Kirk could be replaced. Everybody can be replaced, right? We've had to replace a few people along the way in our days in RacingBoys.com world. It just happens. If you think you're the biggest person on the team, you're mistaken, Tyreek. So go down there and just throw your career away because you're not going to have Patrick Mahomes throwing you that ball. Just so you know, you're going to have some rummy down there trying to throw you a ball, and he's not even going to be able to throw it to you. When you go long, he's not going to be able to get the ball to you. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Trenton Barry is going to join us. We're going to talk about what's going on down at King of America. It's going to be on RacingDirt.com tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night, as long as they get it in. We'll talk to Trenton Barry next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you here in just a moment.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to RodEndSupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City, a wet Kansas City. It's been raining here for the last couple days. And joining us now on the show is a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. Trent Owens joins us on the show. Trent, how you doing, my brother?
Doing well, Scott. How are you?
I've been doing really well, bud. I know it's been a tough 4 weeks for you, hasn't it, my friend?
Well, I mean, it looked like after Daytona it was going to be a tougher 4 weeks. We appealed the penalty, and so yeah. my first race of suspension started last week in Atlanta. But yeah, no, it's been up and down for sure.
Yeah. How about last weekend at Atlanta? Man, it's crazy how well you guys have been running this year. You know, Justin Haley, he's been around a long time. He's made a lot of laps. He's had to run some cars that really weren't as fast as what he's driving now. He's really come into his own as a driver, hasn't he?
No, I really feel like, you know, he's excelled above about anyone's expectations, really. But, you know, watching him kind of come through the series, especially in Xfinity Series last year, notice how competitive he was. Short tracks, road courses, like you always seen him up there. You always seen him in the top 10 and
right. Just
racing really smart. You can't take away his speedway abilities. We've seen him win races there. So, you know, all that points to what you're seeing now.
Yeah. How long does it take? You know better than anybody, right? Some of these drivers, it takes a while for them to really get it. You know what I mean? It seems like a driver might come in and they'll run all right for a while, but it seems like all of a sudden the light bulb comes on some of these drivers when they get like in year 5 or 6 of their career. Does it take that long for some of these drivers to kind of get it a little bit?
I think in most cases it does. I think you're spot on. I mean, obviously, you know, this business and this sport, you know, timing is everything. And, you know, if you jump right in a top equipment, you know, you can have really good runs, but sometimes the consistency isn't there. So,
yeah,
you know, when you come up through the truck series, Xfinity series, that's kind of the steps you take to get into the Cup series. You know, the level of competition just changes so much when you get to the Cup level. I feel like with the simulators that the manufacturers and teams have access to now, you know, as far as a driver going fast and being familiar with the track, I think that learning curve has sped up by years over you know, long time past. You know, they can get right up to speed. I think when you reach the Cup level, it's understanding that everyone's good for one, and then right. all the people that work on the cars, all the good people are in the Cup garage. So, you know, the level of competition is so steep, I think it takes a little while to learn how to tune your car to be good in race conditions, not only turn a fast lap. And I think that's more of what you see.
Do you think that the new car that we have now, that we're racing now, do you think that that is a great equalizer from the haves and the have-nots? It seems like we're seeing a lot of guys that really haven't run up front a lot lately starting to run up front. Is that because of the new car and their ability to be able to drive the new car the way they do?
I believe so. You know, for one, whether you're a small team or a big team, you have all new equipment. You know, there's no used equipment. It's all new. And majority of the race car we have now, it's purchased from an outside vendor. Very, very little do the teams actually produce and build on their own as a team part. I mean, there's some small parts, but the majority of the performance-related items are all vendor-based. And, you know, right now it's a tough balance of it's still a race car, right? And it still has parts and pieces, and there's always going to be one side of the body specs that's favorable versus the other. And so I think in time, you know, teams will figure some of those things out, and the smallest of details might be the game changer. But at least for right now, the way everything's rolled out and the way NASCAR has presented it, I definitely think the equipment is more equal than what you've seen in years past.
Do you think that the drivers, there's so many young drivers right now. I mean, you go back and you look at all the young drivers that are coming up through the ranks, and, you know, we travel and we see a lot of these open-wheel drivers. And do you think the young drivers adapt to this car a little bit quicker because of their background a little bit more, maybe in the grassroots side of things?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. I think it comes in waves, right? You know, Kyle Larson's a phenomenal talent, and you know, so everyone's looking for the next Kyle Larson. And I do believe that the dirt racing, the background he has, I mean, it pays off. Even Justin Haley does a lot of dirt racing. I think it pays off in the way we have to run these race cars now. There was a time where you certainly could question that, but I think it does help now. But you know, the grassroots racing is where you learn to race. It's where you learn to get a feel for the car. And without that, I don't think you could race at the Cup level or the Xfinity level with any success if you don't do that kind of racing. So whether it's late model stocks, super lates, your outlaws and midgets, you know, whatever it be, you have to learn that timing of knowing how to race, and you know yourself what that takes. So, yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah. Where do you think we're at now? Compare the job duties yourself compared to the old car when you had to build everything, make sure the bodies were right. How much is it different from years past to what we have now?
You know, it's hard this early to do a direct comparison, but I say now, knowing that the team beside you is going to show up with the same piece, it's all about it's all about the finest of details, right? You know, we have sim models in our computers where we can make setup changes, balance changes, do all that stuff before we ever get to the racetrack. Some drivers are able to do a lot of simulator time, or we can make adjustments there. So I think it's a product of knowing your car, making sure every piece and part of that car is measured properly, is inputted in your computer properly, and you're getting the right information out of it. Because we don't have practice in all reality. We don't have practice anymore. Those 15-minute sessions, it's a shakedown. It's not a practice session where you're able to change parts and stuff like that. So really, the race cars are speed is made in the shop, and I think that's where the focus is right now, and that's it's much different than the past, because before we would build a car, we'd go to the track, get to work on it through practice sessions, we might come back the next week and change some things. We don't have that luxury now. We can't come back to the shop and just change our car all around, so...
Yeah.
We'll see how it develops as we run more, but at least from my seat, I really enjoy the car. I like the design of the car. I think there's a lot of things about it that was needed in our sport, and so far it looks like it's been putting on good races.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Atlanta, man. I'm pretty proud of our racetrack that we have here in Kansas City. I've always thought it's been the what. Best 1.5-mile track, but I'm not going to lie to you. I said it yesterday on the show. I think Atlanta is my new favorite 1.5-mile track. The racing that they put on there and how they narrowed up the track, put the banking in it, it made for some exciting racing last weekend, didn't it?
No, I think it did. I hope we don't do that every week. We'd never have parts. There's so much torque cars, but, to take our Daytona Talladega, what we call our speedway package, apply that to a 1.5 track. I think we've been trying to test those waters for a while, and we finally put it all together. Now my hopes is that we don't try to saturate and do all the 1.5 that way. I don't think every track can do that.
Right.
I think Atlanta can be of its own. Michigan may be a product of running that package, but outside of that, I'd like Kansas to stay like it is. I'd like Charlotte to stay like it is. But yeah, nonetheless, it was fun to watch, even from where I was sitting. It was fun to watch, even working in it. So
yeah, for sure.
All good.
Man, you've worked with a bunch of talented drivers. I know Kyle Larson was one of those guys. Where do you think we're at right now with the youth movement in Cup racing?
It seems to be a pretty quick turnover here lately. A lot of new names popping up. I think you're seeing it, Justin Haley. And I think we're probably in the next 3 or 4 years, there's some star talent that'll probably be looking at, retirement and so forth. So, I think that's why you see so many teams now are looking to their next guy. Obviously Gibbs's grandson looks like he's performing really well, you see that with almost every team. You see them targeting their young guy to take over to run their organization.
It seems like to me that the fans, in the beginning when some of the veteran drivers were getting long in the tooth and they started to retire, that a lot of the fans weren't taking on to the new guys. But it seems like now the fans are starting to resonate with some of these young drivers and starting to take them in as their own now.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. I felt we had a short period there where almost the drivers and the teams, it seemed like we were almost getting a disconnect from the fans. And I feel like, the pandemic happened and we all had to think different. We all had to race different. We all had to look at everything. And I think post-pandemic, we've actually started to gain back that relationship with fans. I just know walking in and out of the gate of the garage, there's been a lot more conversation with fans and stuff just on my end. So I can imagine what the drivers go through. So, it's the one thing that NASCAR always preaches is, to be accessible and build the fan base. And I think we're starting to see a lot more of that now.
Do you think that part of the reason that we're seeing the surge back, the fans coming back to NASCAR, is because the grassroots fans are starting to resonate with people like Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson? You're seeing a lot of these guys starting to go run sprint car races on their off time. Do you think that that's bringing back the grassroots fan to NASCAR because we're seeing some of these guys run dirt tracks?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that not everyone wants to see Christopher Bell or Kyle Larson show up to race against them, but right. The big picture and the big reality is it brings a big stage, a big attention to that area, and you have to take notice of it. So no doubt these guys that love to race and have time to race, and they go here, there, and everywhere. I see it on social media. I think that's phenomenal for our sport, and I think that what we're seeing now is exactly what you're saying. It wouldn't be happening if it wasn't because of that. And yeah. It's good to see NASCAR getting behind that as well.
Man, I'm gonna. I hate doing this to you, but I'm gonna take a little step back. I'm gonna take a little step back in time, man. Back in 2003, you had a nut behind the wheel driving a Pontiac MB2 car. he could drive it fast, but he kept hitting the wall. That was a problem that day, wasn't it, Bud?
Well, you know, you were fast, and you wanted to get to the front quicker than you probably needed to. So,
right.
You know, you wasn't short of putting your foot on the pedal, no doubt. But
yeah.
That was a fun day, you know, that kind of doing your deal with you and Clint, it kind of kicked off my crew chief career. And it's good that we're still friends and all that. It's been a relationship I really have enjoyed.
It's hard to believe that Clint's already retired, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got the benefit of doing that. I don't think you and I do, but yeah, it is hard to believe. You know, he had an awesome career in his racing, and we knew he could do it. And
yeah,
it's good to see him on the TV and doing that deal. He definitely has the personality for that.
You know, I always laugh whenever I watch the video that my friend made up of that race. He cut out all the fat and kind of just lumped all the segments together where they were talking about our race team. And every time they go to you, and you're on that pit box, and you're standing on the pit box. There wasn't a seat up there, and you had to lean down and talk to the pit reporter. I just laugh my ass off every time I see that, because it's like, my gosh, you think about the pit boxes he's on now compared to what he was on back then. It was just good times, man. And if it wasn't for our pit crew, I think we were running first or second at the time. We came in. And we came back out 11th.
And
I'll never forget when we came back in, Trent says, we're not putting tires on it. We're just putting fuel in it. And that really probably cost us the race.
Ultimately, it allowed us to lead a lot of laps. But in the end, yes, it was the reason we lost. But I wasn't gambling on the pit stop on that day. I was saying, they're just going to have to beat us. We can't come do that again.
Well, Trent, I'm so proud of you, man. You've done so much for yourself as a crew chief. I know you always wanted to be a race car driver, Bud, and I know you were good at driving race cars, but let's face it, I think this career that has worked out for you pretty good, hasn't it?
No, I've been blessed, you know, in racing in general, and yeah, it was fun to race, but I'm very happy where I'm at, the path I've taken to get here, and, you know, hopefully I can keep doing it for a few more years and get some more wins. But yeah, no doubt, it's crew chief job is something I truly enjoy. I still have the same passion today as I had 15 years ago. So,
man, you're not getting any younger either, are you, Bud?
Now my daughter's in her second year of college, and that reminds me every day.
Yeah, is that right? I'll never forget when we went out and ate dinner one night. I don't know where it was at. We went somewhere and had dinner, and she came with you. She had to be about 5 or 6 at that time.
That's probably about right. Yeah.
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 You know all too well. It happens quick.
Yeah. How's your son doing?
He's doing well. You know, we still have to deal with the autism, which is tough, but, you know, he's a loving child. We're lucky with that. So
yeah,
as long as he's happy, that's all we really care about. But, yeah, he's doing well.
Do you ever see Dan Begley?
I have not seen him in some time. No.
Yeah.
I often wonder, what he's up to.
Yeah. No, he's a good man as well. You know, the combination of you and his motors made all the difference when we raced that ARCA car back in the day. Well, Trent, I appreciate you taking the time to join me on the show, man. I know you're going to get a win this year. I just feel that you're going to get one. And when you do, we'd like to have you back on the show to talk about it. Would that be okay?
I'll be on your show anytime you want, man.
All right. T.O., thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you, bud.
Thank you, Scott. Good talking to you.
It's good talking to you, too, as well. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Trent and Barry's going to – I screwed it up on the first break, right? I said Trent and Barry was going to come back. We were going to talk about USMTS. Little did I know, I had it scheduled for Trent Owens to come on first. But next, Trent Barry is going to talk about USMTS, King of America at Humboldt, coming up next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen-printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that to build your business and make it larger. We have the largest screen-printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri, with Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire, helping us out here on the show. My partner, Kirk Elliott, sitting over there in the corner. I don't know what he's doing over there. He's looking at his phone. He's doing some social media over there right now, I think, isn't he, Austin? Is that what he's doing?
I think so. He's probably scrolling the Twitter web.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring in our friend from RacingDirt.com. They've got the broadcast tonight of King of America. Trenton Barry joins us on the show right now. Trenton, how you doing, bud?
Hey, just another day in paradise, man.
Another day in paradise. Better you than me, brother. That's all I can say. Give us an update on what's going on down there at Humboldt right now.
Yeah, so it's about 45 minutes ago. So they were going to start parking rigs. I'm not quite to the racetrack yet. We're grabbing a little lunch before we go, so we'll be there in just a little bit. But yeah, they've somehow through all this rain, and I talked to Ryan Whitworth, and he said they didn't get as much as I did, you know, about 2 hours east of them. We've just been poured on all week, so I'm actually surprised that we're going to be able to get this thing in tonight, but glad at the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
I kind of thought all week that we'd probably lose Thursday night, but they say we're going to get it in and be ready to go, and they didn't have as much rain as we had directly east of the racetrack, so that's a great thing.
Right. If you can't make it down to Humboldt tonight or tomorrow night, if you're going to try, I'm going to try to make it down on Saturday night. You can always watch it on racingdirt.com. They do a great job with their broadcast of the USMTS modifieds. Where would you rank this race here, Trenton, when it comes to out of all the races that USMTS runs? This is a $200,000 purse this weekend, pays $15,000 to win. Kind of give me an idea where this race ranks amongst all the other USMTS races.
Yeah, this one's number two. It's right behind the Fall Jamboree for sure. You know, staying power is so much of what really takes a race and really kind of grows it to that next level. And that's what they've shown here at this racetrack and this event to be able to do. So, yeah, it's second to the Fall Jamboree for sure. Second biggest event of the year.
Yeah.
And, man, really, really, you know, you've done this long enough. You know this this race is at the optimum time of the year as well. So that makes it a little extra special.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a new regime down there at Humboldt this year. Johnny Allen has kind of taken over as the managing partner down there and one of the ownership people. Talk about the Whitworth getting out and the transition with the new people coming in.
Yeah, JR and Katie Sartain that own 81 over in Wichita are involved heavily there at Humboldt as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They've shown to be pretty good for the racing business, I would say. They've done some good stuff over at 81 and really made that a great place to go. And you know, Humboldt was already a great place to go, so I'm sure they will take and even grow on that as well. Biggest challenge for Humboldt Speedway is weekly car count. You know the area well. There's not just a ton of weekly race cars around. So how do you get more? You've either got to cultivate new racers or you have to pull on them from other areas. So that will be the biggest challenge going forward with the new regime here is to figure out what to do to pick up the pace for the weekly program at Humboldt Speedway for sure. It's a gorgeous dynamite facility, man. If this thing was any closer to any sort of population center, it would really be wild what the thing could do. And has done very well, even given its, you know, fairly remote location. But
right.
That'll be a challenge that's unique to Humboldt that they, you know, you pretty much at Wichita, Kansas, you just open the gates and you're going to get X number of racers, you know. That place is just rife with quantity and quality racers. And that's going to be a little bit different, you know, a couple hours east of there. So,
right.
But I'm looking forward to see what they can do. It's one of my most favorite racetracks ever. It's just one of the best places I've ever been to watch a race. I love the place. It's been so special to us for a company too, and I've seen a ton of good races there over the years.
Right. We've had Jason Hughes and Tyler Davis on the show here on Mostly Motorsports. Right now, Jason Hughes has a 6-point lead over Tyler Davis. Talk about those two and where they're at right now. It's early in the season, right? I mean, they've only had a couple races, and Tyler Davis has won one of those races. Dustin Sorensen had picked up a win as well. Just talk about the battle between some of the top guys. I see Terry Phillips is sixth in the points right now. He's one of my favorite guys to watch and race. Just kind of go over some of the points and where some of these drivers lay right now.
Yeah, it's still so early. You know, it's
yeah.
It's hard to really know who's fast and who's not. We just had a couple of shows down in Texas. So Jason looked great, though. I didn't know you had Hughes on earlier. So he's really he looks like he's rebounded really, really well here just to start the year. It's been a while since he's been in victory lane with the series. So that run on the Saturday night, he went 25th to second And that's almost unheard of to right. see somebody do something like that. So he definitely had his car dialed in for that last day main that we ran. But and it was cool to see Tyler Davis get that win. He was the car that was one spot ahead of Hughes on that final night. That was a Billsville race car, and that was Billsville's first ever win in the USMTS, which is something I did not know. And that was Tyler's first win with USMTS. So he put a lot of miles up and down the road and chased a lot of checkers with the series. So it's always cool to see first-time winners, no matter what they do. Tyler had won a ton of races locally and had won some other regional events, but for him to really jump out and win his first real big one was neat to see. He was pumped down in victory lane.
I don't think Tyler's planning on running the full schedule with you guys, though, is he?
Man, he says that, but it's a whole lot easier to say you're not. It's a whole lot easier to say. It's like I've told people, but it's a whole lot easier to say that when you're not running where you think you ought to be. But
man,
he lays down a good King of America weekend this weekend. I don't see how he doesn't go to Hamilton County, up in Iowa the next week. So, it's racer logic, man. You never know, especially this time of year.
Well, I sit here, gosh. I hate it for you, and I hate it for any of our other broadcasting friends that are out there in this industry. But, man, the price of fuel and motel rooms right now is just off the chart, man. I'm not going to lie to you. Trenton, I'm so glad I'm not on the road this year because all I can see is a lot of money coming out of my pocket this year.
Yeah, it's cost a tremendous amount so far. So, and it's hard too because every promoter, every event, every venue wants more. Every single time you go back, more content, more money, more effort, more time. And you have to compound that with the fact that you have to run a business and it has to work out as well. And, that more doesn't stop there. It's right. more at every restaurant. It's more at every hotel. As you mentioned, hotels have been outrageous going on 2 years now. And fuel is just absurdly stupid. So, it's definitely not without its share of challenges for sure.
Yeah. One of the hottest topics in the country right now is the tire shortage. Are you guys in a predicament to where there could be a problem with tires at some point during the season?
Yeah, and there has been a shortage, so tires have been short. I don't know that this KK 704 is in as dire situation as some of those Hoosier late model tires.
Right.
But I also don't know that it's not. But I think one of our biggest things this tire really hasn't been used a whole lot so far. Most of the racing so far this year has been Hoosier tire racing all across the country. So. I'd say in the next month to 6 weeks, we're getting ready to find out what inventory and what any kind of back stock looks like, if there is any. My guess is there probably isn't. So I think some of those issues on the American Racer side haven't shined themselves so bright because really short of the mods and the X mods at the Wild West Shootout, there has not been a whole lot of American Racer racing take place so far this year.
Yeah. I know this weekend is a big weekend with the King of America, but next weekend's a pretty big race, 16th annual Spring Meltdown at Hamilton County Speedway up in Webster City, Iowa. That will be live on Race and Dirt as well. Every race is live on Race and Dirt, right? A USMTS race?
Yeah. You know how it is, man. Pending that cell connection. There's only a couple new places that we're going to have to go this year that we didn't really know about. One of them we crossed off the list there a couple of weeks ago. So Hamilton County is a place we've been several times now, and it's a fairly decent, simple place for us to broadcast from. So, yep, we're planning to have all those live, and that's a cool racetrack. That's one of Todd's two racetracks. He has that one in Mason City, which they've done a ton of work to. So that Webster City track was where. It was kind of where Todd got his start in racing and first went to the races right in his hometown. It's really cool. He's had that lease on that several years now and works really well with the Fair Board. And they've kind of got it's a booster club. They don't call it a booster club, but a group of people that help and fundraise for that racetrack for facility improvements. And they just built a huge catwalk right in the infield from turn four going down the front stretch for some viewing because they put in the infield there. That was just finished up last year, and there's a new scoring tower on top of the covered grandstands. And it's just a really – it's a really cool – it's an old facility, but it doesn't feel old. You know what I mean? Because it's got,
right.
It's just got a lot of character to it, and it's really neat. It's got a lot of history and races really well too, especially for a big track. And I tell people at my core, I'm a lover of small racetracks over large racetracks.
Yep.
But I will say, for a big racetrack, it does a really good job with the show it's able to put on, and we've seen a ton of good races there. Stuff come right down to the wire. Photo finishes and whatnot over the years, and it's cool, plenty of room to race, looking forward to going there here in a couple of weeks. It's, you know, we really get the season started. We went a couple of weeks ago, and then the Battle of the Bullring got rained out.
Yeah.
And we went to Winston last week. That was just a one night race, so it really feels like we're just kind of rolling into our first busy stretch of the season right now, and you're always just kind of ready to get things rolling. So I'm looking forward to a big weekend here and seeing what they're able to do, because it's not only that 15,000 to win, those B-mods are paying 10 grand to win too. So
right.
There'll be a ton of B-mods here as well this weekend.
Yeah. We're visiting with Trenton Berry from racingdirt.com. If you'd like to watch the King of America tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night, you can do so by going to racingdirt.com. They've got a monthly subscription where you could sign up for $32.99 a month, or you can buy an annual subscription for $199.95 for the year, and that puts you down to about $16.66 per month. So, Trent, when's things get underway on Racing Dirt tonight?
I knew that question was coming.
You really don't know, do you?
We're headed to the racetrack. I'm trying to be there about 1:30 to start setting our equipment up. I'm a horrible person to ask what time the races start, because, you know, we always try to be at the racetrack at 2 o'clock, and we're pretty much there from 2 until it's over.
Yep.
I think it's around 6 o'clock, something like that, 6, 7. But to be honest, if I just threw a time out there to you, I'd be lying. So I'm gonna have to take a pass on that one.
All right, well, if they want to find out, maybe you'll have some information up on racingdirt.com, right?
Yeah, usmts.com. Jeff Nunn has the advanced release out, and I looked at it, but to be honest with you, man, it has escaped me. We operate, and you did too, I'm sure, when you were out all over the country. You know, you just kind of operate on the what time do we have to get there time, you know?
Yeah, so no doubt.
That's what we zeroed in on, so I'm not exactly sure, but just this evening, there was nothing out of the ordinary, but
yeah. Well, maybe next week we could get you back on the show to talk about the races this weekend and the results and everything that happened over at Humboldt Speedway with the USMTS King of America race. We'd like to have you on next week to talk about all the action that happened down there. Would that be possible?
That'd be fine, man. Anytime.
All right, Trenton, we appreciate you, bud. Have a good broadcast this weekend. I hope it all goes good for you, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. There you have it. Trenton Berry joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. How about that? There could be a tire shortage in modified racing as well.
Yeah. When we were talking about that yesterday.
This is going to get ugly before it gets better.
Yeah. When we were talking about that yesterday, I didn't know. But we all deep down kind of knew that it was going to happen to him. I didn't realize that, you know, a lot of the racing with the modifieds had been on Hoosiers recently. So hopefully during that time that they didn't have a whole lot of American racers, you know, on the track that they could be stocked up. Hopefully they don't have to see a shortage here soon.
I got a feeling. I'm going to say it right now, Austin. I've got a feeling that some races are going to be canceled because we're not going to be able to get tires this year. What do you think?
Do
you think there's a chance?
There could be a chance. I think the best way to kind of help prevent that, if there ever was, is just limit on what your teams can be using every night.
How many they can use per night?
Yeah, I mean, just give them two tires. You know, you don't need to be putting a new set of fronts on every night. So
a left
give
rear and a right rear.
That, and then, you know, just don't. This also goes back on the track promoters too, and the track, you know, maintainers. don't kill us on a slick track. Don't put us in a position where we're going to be
burning tires up.
Yeah. I get nobody wants to watch a heavy racetrack. I don't want to be on one too, but give us a little shine in the middle. Put a curb on it. Give a little bottom, and that's it. Don't let it be abrasive, and just keep it simple.
You know what I always say? Give me a top and a bottom and slick in the middle.
And the best example is Knoxville Raceway. They do it perfect every week.
And you want to go up there and race?
Well, I mean,
yeah,
sure.
You do. Yeah.
Sure.
Hopefully we can find you a 410 someday and get you up there and race with the big boys. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. Man, how about Trent Owens? They appealed it. Last week was his first race that he hasn't been there with the race team. He's got three more races to go. How difficult would that be? Not to be with your team at the racetrack. I'd bet money. I didn't ask him this question because I didn't want to get him in any trouble. But I bet he communicates with his team at the racetrack. What do you think?
I would. I mean, you'd be kind of stupid not to.
Talk to a cell phone. Hey, what do you think? Or text back
and
forth.
You can text them. You can just sit down under the table, roll a text message out, and that's it. Or, you know, you can totally cheat the system there and get away with it.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I know I would. If you don't, you're not doing it.
Trying hard enough. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show today. We want to thank everybody each and every day for always coming on part of the show. Oh, I've had the hiccups for about 30 minutes now. I can't get rid of them. So, anyway, thanks. We want to thank our guest as well, Trent Owens, T.O., for coming on the show, longtime friend of the Racing Boys, and Trenton Barry from RacingDirt.com. Tomorrow is Friday, isn't it?
I'll be like you. Phone Fun Friday.
Can you say that fast real
I
fast?
Will not say
phone,
that fast. For
phone
I'm
Fun
sorry.
Friday.
Nope, I'll
phone
say
fun,
it once.
Phone Fun Friday. Phone Fun Friday. Phone Fun Friday. Phone Fun Friday. There you go. That's all I'm doing. All right, so it'll be Austin, Kirk Elliott, and myself tomorrow. We'll open up the phone lines. You can tune in as well. We hope that you'll join us right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil. It works.